This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
Woo! This is Charlton Live.
Charlton Live. Very good evening to you. Welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we gear up for the biggest game of the season thus far against Blackburn Rovers is Tom Williams. How you doing, Tom?
Gearing up.
I'm not geared.
I'm getting there. I'm gearing.
Right up in your gears.
Probably third, fourth at the moment.
Fourth gear.
Yeah.
Going to go fifth gear before the weekend?
Maybe Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, fifth gear. Yeah. Nathan, are you in reverse gear?
I'm nervous. I'm really nervous, but I'm excited. But yeah, nervous. I'll gear up with you if you want then.
Yeah,
right. I'll rev it up.
We'll get on the gear Saturday morning.
Excellent. Right, well, so once we've done all our gear on tonight's show, we will be looking ahead, of course, comprehensively to Saturday's game with Blackburn Rovers here at the Valley, the penultimate game of the league season. Charlton sat in the playoff places with a chance. It could be confirmed come 5 o'clock on Saturday that Charlton are in the playoff places, or it could be very much still up in the air. That's what we're going to find out over the course of the next hour. Well, we're going to predict it probably wrongly. So we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer as he looks ahead to that game. We're going to find out about the injury situation. We're going to sit down and work out the permutations, where we can be at 5 o'clock come Saturday. We're also going to hear from Josh McGuinness with Wembley in his sights. He talks about how we can't really get too carried away, but he knows what the prize is at the end of the track. Talk about the play futures, obviously, because we are coming towards the end of the season. The clubs and the players' futures still pretty much up in the air. We're going to hear from Rich Sharp from the Lancashire Telegraph to find out all about Blackburn Rovers, who of course sealed their promotion to the Championship on Tuesday evening. And then we're just going to sit back and just work out how we're going to attempt to be calm for Saturday, because I'm currently not calm. Tom, you don't look very calm either.
Do I not? No. Yeah.
I mean, you are the calm Alex, but not right now.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
It depends.
Yeah, so, right, let's jump straight into looking ahead to Saturday's game. Blackburn Rovers, as I mentioned just there, promoted to the Championship, but they're still battling out for the title, of course, with Wigan Athletic. So they have still got stuff to play for. But anyway, Lee Bowyer looks ahead to the game here on Charlton Live.
First of all, I have to congratulate Blackburn on getting promotion, because it's a long, tough season in this division. And the league don't lie, they're up there because they've won a lot of games. So, but for us, we have to win the game. I think we have to win the game and then keep ourselves in control of our own destiny. So, it's a massive game. And we're going to need, the fans are saying how we're going to need them to come on Saturday and get behind the lads and sing for the 90 minutes like they did at Portsmouth. And I think they got rewarded at the end of that game. And it was nice to see all the players and the fans interacting after the game. And we'll have the same effect on Saturday if they come and support us like we've seen in the games I've been in charge.
It's talk that it could produce Charlton's biggest home gate of the season.
Which is good. It means we're doing the right things. People want to come and support the lads. Then the football has been good and the fighting spirit that everybody's been showing. And that's including the fans, you know. Portsmouth was unreal. They did not stop singing for the whole 90 minutes at Portsmouth. And at times it makes the hairs stand up on your back, you know, to see that happening and see the reaction from the players, and it just showed that everybody's together and moving in the right direction. So everything's positive around the place, and which is what is good for me and the thing that I'm enjoying the most.
And any news on your injured players and who you could have available at the weekend, who you didn't have last weekend?
Well, we obviously lost Tariq. I think Paige is going to be okay. Obviously, he went off as well. Steffi has got to have tests. He's not trained with us all week. So he's still at that. Whether he's going to be fit or not, we won't know until later on in the week. So nothing's really changed. I think Pierce is going to train today for the first time this week. So we had a lot of tired players. You know, them Saturday, Tuesday games were really tough on us because of the effort the lads put in. So, but now they're out of the way. They've had a full week. We give them an extra day off to recover this week. So, all ready for Saturday.
There's Lee Bowyer there chatting to BBC Radio Kent's Tony Hudd at today's press day. We'll hear more about the injury situation in a few moments' time, just in particular for Tariq Fosu. But, you know, we're looking ahead to this game on Saturday, Tom. I mean, I mentioned there it's what the biggest game of the season. I mean, every game now as you progress is going to be the biggest game of the season, I guess. I mean, in terms of over the last couple of years, I mean, Charlton haven't had a game this big because last season we were just floating around in mid-table. The season before, we got relegated quite handedly. Done quite well there. So, I mean, this is the biggest game we've had down here for a few years now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Probably the game against Watford when Harriet scored his hat-trick and we saved ourselves from relegation. That was obviously big, but in terms of a positive story, it's here. I don't know, it's been a while, isn't it? Because it was obviously Carlisle away when we got promoted. So, yeah, it's going to be absolutely massive. Obviously, Blackburn are going to be riding high from securing promotion back to the Championship as well. Hopefully, they'll be... Hangover will still be in full swing, and we can try and catch them half asleep. But they're bringing a lot of people down, not as many as they'd obviously wanted to. And yeah, it's going to be just a huge atmosphere, a huge day, and a massive, massive game. But the players have shown in the last two away games that we can handle that, and they're going to have to do it again come Saturday.
Yeah, because in terms of pressure, Nathan, I guess it doesn't get much bigger than this now. I mean, just with how close the league table still is, the fact we're playing a team that's on a high as well.
Yeah, I mean, but these are games that the players want to be involved in. If you want to be a professional, you want to be involved in high pressurised games where there's a lot of stake. Otherwise, you just sort of, like you say, middle of the table, nothing games. It's not really exciting, is it? But it's going to be tough. Of course it is. But, you know, look at, we said on Monday, didn't we? If you looked at the Bristol Rovers and the Wimbledon games, I think a lot of people would have said we expected 6 points. And then from the Shrewsbury and obviously Pompey, I probably would have thought maybe, 2 points, maybe. So anything can happen, but like you say, it's a high-pressurised game. It's going to be a big crowd, I understand. There's a lot of people I know who are coming back for their first game from boycott, but yeah, it should be a good game.
I mean, we'll talk about Blackburn Rovers in particular. I mean, obviously, as we know, one defeat in 33, which is an incredible run. Riding high after seeing promotion down at Doncaster on Tuesday. I mean, how do you see their mentality being as we head into the game?
I can't really decide. I mean, there were a set of results that could go our way that meant they would have been up but couldn't win the title on Tuesday. Obviously, that didn't happen. So the problem for us is that they have still got the title to aim for. Now, I've got a couple of mates who are Blackburn fans who say they're not so fussed about the title. I don't think... Mowbray's going to let the players think like that, so obviously they're still going to look to press on and get that title, so they're going to be fired up. That might play into Charlton's hands because we like a team that comes at us. We don't want a team that just sits back and defends. That's the sort of team we struggle against, so I think it's going to be quite an open game. And I think when we look at the game at their place, although it finished 2-0, one goal came right at the end and the other was an own goal, and I thought in the second half of that game we were very much in it for a long time. So it's just going to be a really, really good game. I just hope we turn up for it, because there are some games, you look at like the Scunthorpe game or like the Portsmouth game in December, where you get all fired up for what we think is a big game and the players just let you down a little bit. If we can come out and just play our game, obviously I still want us to win, but if we can just do that at least, then we're going to make for an exciting game, I think.
Well, I'm trying to hope that we sort of recover the spirit of when we beat Leeds that time, the second last game of the season at home, and gave us an outside chance of automatic promotion. And I think if they'd won that day, they probably would have gone up automatically. Now, you know, Blackburn bringing down 3,000 fans as well. Now, if they asked for more, we turned around and said no, which was probably for the best. I mean, how big a part do you reckon the atmosphere from both sets of fans could play?
Yeah, I think it will, because obviously, that, like Tom said, they're in a jubilant mood, and I don't think they're going to rest on their laurels, because Wigan have got Wimbledon, haven't they? And they're still fighting for their lives. So I think they're going to come at us to win, which it's, I think it's going to be quite an open game. It'd be a tense game as well. But their atmosphere is going to be key, and that's why I just think it's important for every single person who's there this Saturday just literally get behind them. Because look at Plymouth, they had a similar run, maybe not as long as 33 games. Went there, didn't expect anything, we won that. So I think just get behind the lads, and they always say that, like, the fans are the 12th man, and they, and obviously they need it on Saturday.
Because in terms of form, obviously the Charlton fans are on pretty good form at the moment after that game down at Portsmouth as well. And we don't often get that atmosphere quite at home, but you know, the covered end's got it in them.
We have our moments, and frustratingly it tends to be when we've fallen behind and we're getting ourselves back into a game, and I don't think we can really afford to do that against Blackburn at the weekend. We need to hit them early, try and get ourselves in front, and the crowd know when it's a big game. You think back, I mean, the one we always come back to is that Cardiff game on a Tuesday night, but there have been other examples over the last few years where we know the QPR game with Jacko's late winner, you know, the crowd were fantastic that day. The whole game early on in the season the other year when Goodmanson scored right at the end. We've had days where the crowd will just sing non-stop here as well. As Nath says, there's going to be a few more through the door, which will obviously help that as well. And yeah, we're going to have to compete with, as I say, not as many Blackburn fans as they'd hope to bring down, but there's still going to be a lot of them in that Jimmy Seed stand.
Yeah, and Bowyer keeps mentioning how much he thinks that the fans can, you know, they can add that extra 10% to the players. He says it sounds like a cliche, but honestly, you know, speaking from experience, Bowyer's saying it really can help.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you just imagine being on that pitch, and you know, you're up for the game anyway, and that extra, but you can always get delve into your system and get another 10% out of it, because you know you've got the crowd behind you, and then when you're showing that much emotion, you're going into 50-50s, you're putting yourself about, you're working hard, and then the crowd get you behind you even more, and it's a cycle, and then that's how the momentum builds, and I think that's how it's going to be on Saturday.
Right, so let's have a look at the Charlton team now. We know, like I said, we know there's injuries, so we know, and we're going to talk about those more in depth when we hear from Bowyer on the injuries, because that will affect us going forward as well. But I mean, in terms of Saturday now, I mean a straight question for Saturday, perhaps, are you looking, you know, on the wing, does Marshall come in? He came in and played quite well on Saturday.
Yeah, for me, yeah. Straight away. I think having had the week, obviously their players have had a bit more chance to get some legs back. Obviously the previous couple of weeks they've been Saturday, Tuesday, back to back, and I think that showed. But for me, you keep the team as close to last weekend as you can. As I say, yeah, Marshall, for me and for Fosu, I thought he did well when he came on last week, and Kai hasn't still really convinced me enough. So yeah, that would be the only real change I'd make. I don't know what Jada Silva's injury is like, but Paige played well last week anyway. So yeah, injuries aside, they're the only changes I see happening. But who knows? Bowyer's got to manage that score carefully now. Yeah. Obviously with Rochdale in mind as well, and potentially another three games.
I mean, because there's going to be the questions up top as well. I mean, obviously McGuinness and Jose linked up quite well last week. Bowyer sort of admitted that he felt he kept Zaro in for one game too long a couple of weeks ago. And I don't think there's any chance he's going to think, well, I don't want to do the same with Big Josh, and he might be tempted to change. Or
I think Zaro sort of got out-muscled a little bit in a couple of games, and he sort of went off the boil. I think what Tom said in terms of Marshall and stuff, I think it's going to be key, because they've got Conway and Armstrong who play out wide. So if we play fairly narrow, like we've been seeing recently, it's going to be a 1v1 more or less, Conway and Armstrong against our fullback. So it'll be interesting to see if he goes for more of a flat 4-4-2 to try and stop that, or if he does go for the diamond, just go, sod it, we're just going to do that. But I can't see any changes up top. No, I think McGuinness would start and should. I think Zaire done okay, but in a game of this magnitude, I think you're going to need someone with someone like Josh's work rate up the top, if it's because it sticks up there and it wasn't sticking with Zaire at some point.
Especially if it's going to be, you imagine Blackburn will be quite a tough nut to crack, so we will need it to stick up top. And I think Zaire was clearly getting quite frustrated, I think, against Gunthorpe as well when it wasn't sticking for him. I mean, we're just looking in the midfield, I can't imagine anyone out of Reeves or Cashy or anyone like that. Forster Caskey will be dropped. I just if Aribo's back fit, and I'm not certain if he is or not really, because he had his shin injury. He was expected to be back fit for Portsmouth, but I think he was. Was he on the bench? Yeah, he was on the bench. So, yeah. Would you be any temptation, or you still think keep it the same?
Nah, the only person I'd bring him in for is Reeves, and in this formation, you're then ending up playing him out wide. I thought Cashy and Forster Caskey, the last two games, Shrewsbury and Portsmouth, has been by far and away our outstanding player, and that's in a team that all outperformed their ability, in my opinion. Cashy coming back at the weekend was huge. Got himself about, got in Portsmouth faces, and we're going to need that again against Blackburn. So, yeah, I like what Aribo does on the ball, but I just think against a team like Blackburn, you need those players in there to just break up the play, try and get it out to the wide players, and Reeves' creativity and Marshall on the other side just getting down in the wing. I think that's. That's how we're going to have to try and beat them.
Right, Tom Crossy tweeted in saying, just recovered from Saturday, was well worth the 3-year wait for that fixture. Let's hope the Blackburn have a similar recovery time. I mean, especially if they've been drinking. Genuinely, do you think that if they went out and celebrated, that might even just give us a tiny edge?
I don't think they would have celebrated. I think they probably would have celebrated after the game, maybe, but I don't. Depending on how much they drunk, if you have a 3-day hangover, maybe, I don't know, but... I honestly think Tony Mowbray is going to tell him, listen, it's not like we're going to play in the worst teams in the division, which, to be fair, Rochdale are still fighting for their lives. Like I said, Wimbledon are still... So it's not over and done, you know. It's not like they can't win the league. So anything can happen in this league, which we're all aware. So I think they'll come to win. I'm just really nervous.
Yeah, right, we're all really nervous. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live, back in 30 seconds.
It's been flicked on by McGuinness.
Yes! And it's in! And out of nothing, Charlton are ahead. It was a long ball forward by Ben Amos, flicked on by Josh McGuinness. But Jose was away and left-footed. Out came Luke McGee. And Jose slotted it past him into the open net. And as you say, a cagey start. I thought either team would be happy going in at 0-0. But out of nothing, Charlton have taken the lead, Terry.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Looking ahead to Saturday's huge home game with Blackburn Rovers, as Charlton look to try and secure their place in the League One playoffs with a couple of games left to go. All sorts of permutations still knocking about, which we'll discuss in a minute. Now, let's hear from Lee Bailey, because of course, not just for this Saturday, but of course for the rest of the season, hopefully... the playoffs, you know, the situation with injuries is going to be important. So, Lee Bowyer, just giving us a little bit of an update here on who's in and who's out for Saturday.
They said 3 weeks, so I'm hoping one of them's gone already by Saturday. So, yeah, we might see him back in the playoffs at some stage.
And Steffi as well.
Steffi, again, I don't know if Steffi, we thought he was just going to recover this week. But because after Shrewsbury, like he struggled, so then on the Saturday at Portsmouth, we said we'll leave him at home and let him rest and to recover and get himself right. But it's not been that simple from what I hear. So all I can say is he's going to have more tests again today to see if he can maybe feature at some point. But I'm not really hearing good news on him at the moment. So. We'll see how he does today.
He's a future at some point, you mean, against Blackburn?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Yeah. That was the plan all along, from when he didn't, after the Shrewsbury game, and he didn't travel with Portsmouth, but that he hasn't trained with us all week. So I thought he'd have been training with us on Tuesday, but he hasn't. So, again, he's got tests again today. So, test Tuesday and Monday. He's got more tests today, and if he don't meet them requirements, then he won't be involved now.
Yeah, just to read into it, obviously that's a massive blow for the team. Does it give a chance for the likes of maybe Silikaikai and Marshy to kind of step up, kind of fill the void?
Yeah, obviously Tariq's a massive loss. He's something that can just turn a game in an instant, you know. He's a very good player. But we've got a good squad, and yeah, once a door closes for someone, another one opens for somebody else. That's football, unfortunately. So whoever does come in, it's their chance to grab the opportunity. Because if we've got these two games left this season, and then obviously the playoffs, touch wood, the playoffs, and then there's another three after that.
So there we go, Lee Bowyer there telling us, you know, straight off the bat there, Tariq Fosu out injured for 3 weeks now. He's saying he hopes that one of those weeks has already been, so that means 2 weeks left. So that effectively now rules him out of this game on Saturday with Blackburn, rules him out of the game next Saturday up at Rochdale. So, I mean, and even then, does he come back in time for the playoff semi-finals if we make it? Hopefully, but we don't know. I mean, how big can that be for us?
Yeah, it's a massive loss. Huge. I think even he's been in and out of the team all season with little niggles, unfortunately. But every time he's come back in, he's hit the ground running. He's not taken any time to get back up to speed. And as we've said time and time again, he's that player that can make something out of nothing. And he's really the only one since Ricky left. So yeah, it's a huge loss, but having said that, I think Reeves and Marshall have both improved second half of the season. I think Aribo as well. We've obviously now got that sort of tussle between Zyro, McGuinness and Ajoze up top, so we've got other options up there. Of course, it's still a big loss, but I think if we focus on the players that are going to take his place, I think we've still got more than enough in there. It'd obviously be great to have him back, but if he has to wait until the final, then so be it.
League games only, win percentage where Tariq Fosu started 54%, win percentage where Tariq Fosu hasn't started 28%. And that says it all, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it's probably because he scored a lot of those games that he's won, and we will miss his goals. But since he had that big injury, he keeps coming back and breaking down again, so I don't know if he's coming back too early or not.
It's quite clear when he came back against Shrewsbury that he wasn't feeling.
Yeah, and when there was a game he came on at home as well, when he came for like a 10-minute cameo, and he I think it was his thigh or something, and he shot and he went sky high, and you could tell he weren't fit. So maybe he's paying the price now, but like Tom said, it's going to be a massive loss. But it's a squad game, and like Boza said all the time, Marshy's come in, he's been dropped, and he's had a good game. So it's someone else to, another time for him to shine.
You don't want to be too short term about it, but if you think back over the last games, the first goal on that Tuesday night come from a Forster Caskey cross headed in by a centre back. Second one was McGuinness on a breakaway. The game at Portsmouth involved Amos, McGuinness, and Ajoze. So Fosu hasn't been involved directly in our last three goals. Now, as I say, that is very short term, and I'm not degrading the impact he's had throughout the season, because as I say, he's got a huge amount of goals and assists, but we've found other ways to get past teams and get goals, so we're going to have to continue to do that, unfortunately, but at least we know we can do it.
Right, what about Steffi Mavididi as well? Now it sounds like he's a touch and go, doesn't it? Since he came back from his first injury, he hasn't quite looked himself for me. I mean, we know how good he is when he first sort of joined back on loan from Arsenal. But since he went back to have his injury sort of sorted and came back again, he hasn't really looked completely fit, has he? And imagine how big a player like he could be if he was fully fit. Him and Fosu fully fit, we'd be winning the playoffs easily.
Yeah, and it's been a shame because we haven't really had much time to play them together, really. But I think when he came, you know, like you said, when he came back from injury, he came on against Bristol Rovers and he looked really rusty. And I mean, like Zyro rusty when he first started. and it's disappointing because, like you say, we all know what Steffi's capable of in his day. I mean, look at his debut against Oldham. It was Oldham at home, wasn't it? His debut when he scored.
Yeah.
And it's like games like that where you just can produce and, you know, people hate playing against him because he just runs at them. And that's what my only concern is that now we've not got him and we've not got Fosu. The only people that literally drive at centre-halves is Kai Kai, really. Marshall only does it down the byline and he doesn't take anyone on, really. So that's my only... we only got Rebo. So that's where I'm struggling and I'm hoping it's not just going to be a case where we just have to do the build-up play, go out wide and try and cross it. So whereas Fosu and Mavididi give you that little bit of snap...
I mean, who are you looking at to be our sparkling on Saturday with those two players out, Tom?
I think it's going to have to come from probably Ben Reeves, unless Aribo's in there. I mean, I know Forster Caskey can pick out a pass as well, and he's going to have to do the same amount of work that he's done the last couple of games. But yeah, it's going to have to come through Ben Reeves. It's going to have to come from Ajoze and McGuinness. And you know, those two, they sometimes flatter to deceive in terms of their creativity like that, but... Jose on Saturday got on the ball a lot and drove forward at Portsmouth's defence. Now, his final ball let him down three or four times, but at least he showed he could do it. Mm. Same with McGuinness. You can see him get the ball deeper and run forward, and he can scare defenders, but he just needs to. They all just need to be on their game. But I think even if Fosu was in the side, they'd all need to be on their game to beat him anyway. So it's not too different.
Yeah. I think with Jake, just a point on Jake on Saturday, I think that he will probably play a little bit more of a disciplined role because of Bradley Dack. Because I mean, I don't think they're going to. You look at the form. Cashy can do the screening and does what he does, but I think we're going to might have to double up on him because he's so good. He's in form, you know. You can't deny it, even though he's a Charlton youth player, whatever he was. But I think he's going to be a discipline, and he's going to be starting those attacks from the back and letting doing the Reeves and maybe a Rebo doing it forwards.
I saw that Bradley Dack playing Paul down at Bexley Heath 10-pin bowling a few months ago.
Yeah. Another Monday.
Yeah, I'll let Lee know so in case we can use that against him somehow. Tactics.
With a skittle or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible to think, but I mean, how differently could our season have gone if we didn't have injuries to certain key players? We had that spell where we had so many out, and you think of the likes of Billy Clark, who've missed a long portion of the season. Forget about Leon Best, who came in and was just threatening to become a decent striker for us and then got injured. And
yeah, it's been another one of those seasons. It's been the same every year since Roland's been in. It seems to be the only consistent thing seems to be the small squad. So that must play a part, and it is frustrating. But there are lots of things we can look at as to why this season hasn't panned out as well as we'd like. You know, how many last minute goals have we conceded? Ricky leaving in the summer, the takeover taking as long as it has. There are lots of things. But we are where we are. We've been in a good run of form this last, three or four weeks, pretty much since Bowyer's come in, that couple of games aside. So, yeah, Blackburn are a good side and they've got promoted, and deservedly so. They've been fantastic all season. But they're not going to have it all their own way here. They're not going to be excited to come here. You know, they're not playing Bury or something. They've got a tough game on their hands, and I hope we can just show that and give them that game.
Right, Harvey's just tweeted me in. Ahead of Saturday's game. Now, many of you know, if you're on the Charlton Facebook group, and may remember from around sort of Christmas time, we mentioned it on the show, but there's people were organising to send a young Charlton fan loads of Christmas cards. But then young Charlton fan who's been suffering with his health, unfortunately, Jack Jeffries. Now, he's copied this, I believe it's from Facebook, and he's just to let us know that that we're going to be in the company of Jack. Apparently he's coming to the Valley on Saturday, which is excellent news. It says, the Facebook group says, with this in mind, and because it will be his first visit, we're hoping that all you lovely people will join in singing his name for a minute on the fourth minute after kickoff, and again after halftime, as we are told. This will make him very happy hearing his name, and I'm sure you'll all be with me in hoping he has a great day and showing him we're all sort of behind him. So in the fourth minute, the tweet says, a round of there's only one Jack Jeffries. As a Charlton fan, has been very poorly. Very young Charlton fan. If you're on the Facebook group, you would have been aware of it. His family have been selling the wristbands and the lanyards at the last few games as well. I've got a Team Jack wristband. So if you want to join in with being Team Jack, you can do on Saturday by singing Jack's name in the fourth minute. There's only one Jack Jeffries. It'd be nice if we can get around to that going on Saturday. Right, so have a quick break here on Charlton Life. We'll come back and talk about some permutations for the weekend.
No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless, we were born for greatness.
Inside, lovely ball. Spot. What a ball. And he picks out Reeves in space, crossing the halfway line. Reeves, Page up to that's a lovely dummy by Jose. Gyro finds a Jose again. Chip ball in, looking for Fosu. Just too high, but it'll run to a Rebo on the opposite side of the penalty area. Back into the box, just hit it! Oh, Gyro scores! Superb football from Charlton, from one side to the other. Lovely cross from Aribo. Gyro header, 2-0 Charlton.
There we go, welcome back. Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. London Innit Geezer tweeted, saying the stats don't lie, start Kai Kai and we don't win. So hopefully with Fosu out, we don't start him and blow our chances. Because Kai Kai was out. He was one of the hamstrings last week, wasn't he? So whether he's any closer to coming back, we don't know. But, I mean, if he does what he can do, which supposedly he can do, and we saw it twice at Bristol Rovers where he actually burst into the area, then he could be our best hope of having someone who can actually drive with the ball. But, I mean, as we know, he hasn't done it anywhere near enough since he's joined from Palace.
No, exactly. And I know London Innit Geezer, Kai Kai's his favourite player.
Big fan, isn't he?
I'm only joking, mate. But, yeah, like you say, he's a player... which we spoke about loads of time. The Bradford game, I keep harping on about it. The Bradford game, the first 20 minutes, he was unplayable. But he seems to... he seems to flit in and out of games, and we can't afford to have someone flitting in and out of games of someone of that importance. He can drive at defences, like you say, definitely, but he doesn't seem to do it consistently, and we can't cope. We need other players who are going to get on the ball, like the Reeves and the Aribos, who can produce it when it matters.
Excellent. Right, so let's talk about some permutations now, because on Tuesday I was down at Bromley games. I was just checking my phone for the Rochdale Plymouth score. Luckily I wasn't just sat there concentrating on it, because it would have been doing my nut basically. But so obviously that ended in a 1-1 draw, which is a good result for us. Anything other than Plymouth winning was a good result for us. So I'll take a 1-1 draw, which is excellent. So now we're looking at the league table. And we're trying to work out what's going to happen. So Charlton, 44 played, 68 points, goal difference of 7. Scunthorpe, 43 played, 67 points, so 1 point behind us, goal difference of 11. That's a four better goal difference than us. Plymouth, 42 played, so is that right? Yeah, that's old, isn't it?
That's Plymouth 43 games.
Yeah, Plymouth 43 games now. So that was from the week before, but so Plymouth have now played 43. They have 65 points, so they're 3 points behind us. So you're looking in that league table and you're thinking, oh god, it's a little bit dodgy, because you know Plymouth have got three games left to play. We've only got two. Scunthorpe have got three as well. But don't forget, of course, those two play each other next Tuesday, which is on TV as well. So all these permutations are quite difficult to work out. Now I've taken to Excel, as is my wont, to try and work out where we're going to be. Now, if we win on Saturday and Plymouth lose on Saturday, and it doesn't matter what Scunthorpe do, then that means it's as good as done for us, because the most points, that'll put us on 74 points, and the most points that Plymouth would be able to get would be 74, I think. And then it would come down to goal difference. So now, if it comes down to goal difference, Plymouth would have to turn around a goal difference of about 6. So if that is the case, then you'd assume we'd be okay?
I'm not assuming anything, to be honest.
I think we're going to get 4 points out of these last two. I think we'll draw on Saturday. I think we might just scrape 6th. I think because that means Scunthorpe have got 3 games and they're 1 point behind. I can see them at least getting 6 points out of their next two, their last three. Mm. So then Plymouth have got 3 games left, haven't they? And they're gaming out. So even if they lose to, it's difficult. Mm. I mean, it's even after Saturday. Even if we win Saturday, I still don't think, until Plymouth play Scunthorpe next Tuesday,
But if we win Saturday, so like I said, if we win Saturday and Plymouth lose, then it's very difficult for them to overtake us, even if they win the rest of their games.
So we'll be on 71 if we win on Saturday, right? So we're on 68 at the moment.
Yeah, we'd be on 71. So all right, so I'll put it into my computer here. So if we win, beat Blackburn, Plymouth lose, but then win their remaining 2 games.
Yeah.
That would put them on 71 points still. We'd be level on points.
And
that's assuming that we lose at Rochdale.
Yeah.
And then with the goal difference, they'd have to turn over 6 goal difference. So if we win Saturday, Plymouth lose, then it's as good as done.
More or less.
Now, if we win Saturday and either both Scunthorpe and Plymouth lose, or Scunthorpe lose and Plymouth draw, then because they have to play each other, then it's done. It's done.
That one's a confirmed.
That is a confirmed. So Saturday, if we win, Scunthorpe lose, and Plymouth lose or draw, then that is it. That is confirmed. There's no way, because they have to play each other, and they therefore can't both overtake us.
I think that's the thing. It comes down to us, doesn't it? If we do our end of the bargain and we win our games, we're fine. But that's the big question. Now, I personally think we might beat Blackburn, but you know, we're coming up against a side second in the league. It's not going to be an easy game, so I still think it comes down to the last day, irrespective of what happens at the weekend. Yeah. I just can't see it being sorted before then. But we have to win. We have to win both our games. And the run we've been on, there's no reason to say we can't do that at all. But if something was to go wrong on Saturday, it's just going to be so nerve-wracking going into that last game. And again, we're going to have to rely on Tuesday night and then wait and see what happens. But there's just, it's so much that's still got to happen, which is ridiculous because there's only 8 days of the season left or something.
If we win both of our games, we can't be caught.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Now, if we draw on Saturday, that would and say we draw against Rochdale, that would leave us on 69 points, and both other teams could easily overtake us. So we definitely need to win at least one. So say we draw on Saturday and then win on the last day of the season, that'll leave us on 72. Ooh, and I'll tell you what, Plymouth would be on 72 if they won and then drew with Scunthorpe. So if they won and then won their last day of the season, so if, all right, so in that case, if we draw on Saturday, then we're praying, absolutely praying for Scunthorpe to win, I think, on Tuesday.
The way I see it now, I think I'm banking on the fact that Plymouth don't get there. So I'm relying on Scunthorpe to win and Plymouth to lose.
Yeah.
And it be a and if we finish sixth because Scunthorpe overtake us, so be it. We'll have to deal with Shrewsbury. But it, while it's a three-horse race, I'm nervous because I can see, at the moment, I can see the potential for Plymouth to win their last three games.
I spoke to a Plymouth fan the other day, on Monday, and they're missing two or three key players, one being Rory Taylor, who's their striker, the ginger fella. Mm. So, and they apparently they were awful against Northampton, who they were, you know, Northampton aren't the greatest of teams,
yeah.
And then they drew against Rochdale. Mm. So that's given me a bit of hope that they're a bit pants at the moment. But like we all know, anything can happen, and it's like, and that's what's making me nervous. Especially if we draw or lose Saturday, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be like destroyed.
For right, so here we go. So, so just for the record, so Scunthorpe are playing Milton Keynes on Saturday. Plymouth are playing Rotherham. Then they play each other on Tuesday on the final day of the season. Plymouth are playing Gillingham. Scunthorpe are playing Bradford. So a whole mix of teams there, all playing each other. No one knows what's going to happen. I've just tried to describe the permutations to you. I'm still confused, even though I've got it on Excel.
The thing is, by Thursday next week, we'll be in good shape. There's one game left for everyone, and we'll know where we stand.
Yeah, so I won't be able to fill 5 minutes of the podcast and listen.
We can still get a spreadsheet.
Yeah, yeah, Will Bolland says, you already know what I'm going to say, Louis and Charlton Live. Keep the faith. Hashtag keep the faith. Keep the faith, according to Will Bolland. Right, one man who I'm sure will keep the faith. But we have Wembley on our sights now, and Josh McGuinness knows that very well, but also knows that you can't get too carried away.
We know that Wembley is well within our grasp, but if we start thinking about that and getting carried away, you can lose sight of what needs done, and you can't underestimate any team in this league, or else it'll be a potential banana skin. So we take one game at a time, but every game we win is one game closer to getting to Wembley. So it is massive. As I said, not many people will be able to say that they've done that. We're looking forward to it, and we know that we've got more than enough to get there, so we're looking forward to the game. The run-in's going to be brilliant. Having something to play for at this stage of the season, you know, some teams, they can't get relegated, they can't go up. Not saying that's just going to dither out, but there's nothing left to play for. So, but for us, we've got it all to play for, you know, our livelihoods and representing Charlton. Trying to get us back in the Championship is absolutely massive.
You had a little breakout in the starting 11, but back in for the last two, and you look like you've got a hunger in there, and you, nice little partnership today with Nicolai Jojo setting up the goal.
Yeah, it is massive, you know. You got to respect the decision that Bowes makes. The best thing, not only his coaching and stuff, but how he is, he's brutally honest with you, and he'll tell you exactly how it is. And as I said, there was a few home truths before the old gaffer left, and he said he needed to change it up. And as he's shown you, if you're in form, you'll play. He doesn't mind rotating it, as you'll see the teams that he's done since he's took over. So everyone knows that there's you can't rest on your laurels. You know, if you're not performing, you're out. Being out wasn't nice, but as I said at the start of the season, there's a bigger agenda of whether I play 90 minutes every Saturday or not, and the main aim was to get promoted. As I said, we're still on that course. If that means that I had to sit out for a while to let other lads play, which did happen because they were in red-hot form, took a bit of a blip and he decided to change it up. And when you get back in, it's just up to yourself to take your chance and be involved in the game. Shrewsbury scoring and then getting assists today is the only way that you can do that for your manager.
Dressing room must be buzzing, not just over the fact that the two results, the performances that went along with it, the intensity you've played at, and the crowd coming down here and following you in numbers must give everybody a boost.
It's unbelievable, you know. It's the atmosphere was brilliant, especially from Charlton fans. They were never silent. It was like being back at the Valley, you know. It was the travelling support was fantastic, and we always praise them for that because they follow us wherever. But the changing room's absolutely brilliant at the minute. You know, you got some big characters in there, some boys who've had promotion, they've played at a higher level. So we all know what it takes, and everything's obviously easy when you're winning, but especially after the Bristol Rovers game where we took a bit of a blip, and then going on to the Wimbledon game, it showed a real strength and depth in our squad that we didn't let, you know, we didn't let the leak developed. We stamped it out. We bounced back with two results. And as I said, the atmosphere in the dressing room is absolutely brilliant. But that's testament to the personalities that we have. We've got no bad eggs. We've got none of that. Everyone's pushing for the same goal. And as I said, at the start of the season, what we all said was promotion.
You had the four games immediately under Lee Bowyer when he first came in, where the last one was a draw, but basically the intensity and the level of performance was there. Then we dropped off for a couple. Do the players now know what it's going to take for the next couple of games to get where you want to go?
Yeah, no, especially, don't get me wrong, we have got very, very gifted players, but sometimes you play against teams that your ability isn't enough. You have to go to war, basically. And the intensity, we did slip off a bit and we got punished, and rightly so, because you can't just expect, because you play for Charlton and you are who you are, that teams will just roll over for you. No, teams that we were playing, especially Wimbledon, they were down at the bottom there fighting for their lives. And to other teams, I genuinely think that we're a big scalp. Charlton's a massive team. It's genuinely a massive team. You've seen it from the travelling support. See it at when we get to the Valley. You know, it's a massive club. So when we go to play teams, or teams come to play us, it's a massive game. You know, so it's just important that we bounce back. We kept going, and Bowes expects high intensity because that's how he was as a player. He was in people's faces, and he doesn't expect anything less. You know, coming off absolutely wrecked is the bare minimum, and he's made that abundantly clear. And I think it's been shown on the.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Pitch.
Rise on that pressure on Britain. Instead, they still have it. It does, but they give it away as McGrandles loses out to Cashy. We'll go for goal here. Ahmed Cashy shoots it in!
What a
Cashy!
Oh, Ahmed Cashy!
What a strike from the Algerian! The way.
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Just heard from Josh McGuinness there, who is just talking about the how you've got to keep your levels up now for the rest of the season. Right, we'll just look ahead just quickly. Now, obviously, there is we're all caught up in this playoff race, but the end of the season's coming as well, isn't it? So, things sort of happen after that in terms of players' contracts. So Lee Bowyer was asked about that this afternoon, and this is what he had to say about the future of himself and, of course, the players at the club.
And finally, are you any the wiser about your future and the future of those players out of contract? Will you be making any decisions on that, or who makes the decisions?
I certainly won't be making any decisions and on players. I'm here until the end of the season, like what I've been told a few weeks ago. So that's it. I'm here to the end of the season. That's all I know, and that's all I'm focusing on. I'm not focusing on beyond that. I just need to do what I've got to do here and there. So that's out of my control, and what will be.
So interesting stuff there from Lee Bowyer, because obviously, like I said, we're all caught up in this playoff race and the excitement of the end of the season. But, you know, normally at this time of the season, you at the back of your mind, you're thinking about, right, what we're going to do this summer. Who do you want to bring in? You know, let's have a list ready for if we stay down in League One. Let's have a list ready for if we go up into the Championship. Now, with the club in this weird state of limbo that we've been in for ages now, and it seems never ending almost, I mean, how can you possibly plan ahead?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, like you say, I can only hope that what's his face? Steve Gallen? Is it? No, it's not Steve.
The coach, yeah.
So
the scout, even.
Yeah, you'd think like he has done something like that. You know, a worst case scenario if I stay in this league and obviously going up, because I don't know if Ahmed's going to stay, if we don't get promoted and stuff like that. So first, we need to sort our own contracts out. But yeah, it's because then you've not only that. You don't even know who's going to be in charge at the top but come next season. So again, it's a bit of a limbo one. It just seems every season or every transfer window, it's never ever straightforward. Or there's always the summer starts late and the pre-season's late. I remember when Russell turned up, the only players or something. It was just like a mess. But I'm hoping they're doing something in the background. Surely they would be anyway. Because I think they probably they get targets as the season goes on, but. Surely you have to plan it, especially if you're going to go up.
I mean, Bayer sort of said himself that he's not making any plans along those lines. And I mean, how could he? Because he doesn't know if he's going to be here.
Mm. I think that's the problem. And like Naif saying, they this and they that. Like, I don't know who they is at the moment. And I think that's the problem, because Katrien ain't making the decisions because she's gone. Roland's not making the decisions because hopefully is sorting this takeover. So I don't know. Is Richard Murray getting involved? But somebody at the top needs to be. And you're both right. It's another issue. Like, we knew this was going to be difficult and it was going to be prolonged and it was going to be dragged out. And we said that back in February when the takeover first actually seemed to be starting. But yeah, it's going to knock us back again. And irrespective of whether we go up or not, there's a huge rebuild needed, because either we need to focus our players and get over the disappointment of missing out and get sorted again for next year, or we're going to need to invest a lot for next year if we're a division higher. So we need to have been started about 3 months ago, so yeah. We're already behind.
James Franklin tweeted in, new owners tend to move on from existing team management in order to clear out the old regime, but Bo is not part of the old regime, he's part of the club. This, along with the results, should put him at the top of the list for next season. Right, let's turn our attention back to Saturday's massive home game with Blackburn Rovers in our race for the playoffs. I spoke last night to Richard Sharp from the Lancashire Telegraph to find out all about the Rovers. Right, joining us now on Charlton Live is Rich Sharp, the Blackburn Rovers reporter for the Lancashire Telegraph. Good evening, Rich. How are you doing?
Evening, yeah, not bad, thank you.
I imagine you're in pretty good spirits after last night's win at Doncaster as well, and seals finally sealed promotion for Blackburn. Is that something that's been coming all season?
Yeah, it's been a long old season. They were favourites pretty much from the moment they went down, and given the signings they made, the money that they spent, didn't get off to the best of start, but this incredible run that they've been on, one defeat in 33 games, and culminated in a great night at Doncaster last night.
Did fans expect that they'd be going straight back up after relegation from the Championship last season?
I think the way that they went down from the Championship, they only went down on goal difference. Since Tony Melby came in, they took 22 points from the 15 games that he took charge of. They won the last two games and went down with 52 points. And I think if you look at the Championship table from this season, somebody's probably going to stay up with mid-40s. So they've been comfortably safe if they've been in this season. And they carried that momentum really through into the summer, made some exciting signings. And there was real hopes going into this season that they could do something. Obviously, 4 defeats in their opening 11 games. They lost the first two. And I think that raised a few doubts. But Bobby, since he's walked into the club February 2017, has really galvanised everybody. And there's a real feel-good factor around the club. And they built a momentum through as the season's gone on. And yeah, I think there's always been a confidence while this run's been going on that they will be able to see it through.
Mm. And from a personal point of view for Tony Mowbray, of course, I guess this was a chance really to get his career back on track, and he's proved again, you know, what he can do when he can sort of get in charge of a decent club.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with Mowbray and the fans is the trust, which has obviously been lost with previous managers and obviously the owners as well. Mowbray's managed to plug that gap really between the fans and the owners, and they really do believe in him, and he speaks with real honesty. He's a hard-working guy, and he just resonates with the fans. And since the moment he's walked in, he's been like a breath of fresh air. He's brought everyone together. And yeah, he deserves a huge amount of credit. You'll not find many Blackburn fans who've got a bad word to say about Tony Mowbray and the job he's done from the moment he walked into the club, even though he was in charge when they were relegated. But he's been the man who's been given the tools to lead them back to back to the Championship and done that with two games to spare.
And it's incredible that it has taken to the last two games of the season, really. I guess any other year, you probably would have been promoted a few weeks ago. Shrewsbury have really pushed the top two all the way this year.
Yeah, it's been an incredible run from Shrewsbury. I think a lot of people will be looking out for them in the playoffs. You were always probably expecting them to tail off at some point because they weren't operating with the same as Rovers and Wigan, but it just kept going on and on. I think the running the chequered trade probably hurt them in the end. But they're still on 86 points with a couple of games to go. So, and I think Bolton went up last year with 87. So there could be three teams with more than that. And Rovers could still finish on 99 points and finish second. So the top three have really set the standard this year. And it's been quite an incredible run. But fair play to Rovers for being able to get the job done with two games to spare, because it really was looking for all to go down to that last game of the season.
And in terms of the relationship between the fans and the owners, because obviously at Charlton that's something we've seen problems with over the last few years. Now Blackburn are another club that have had controversial owners in the Venkies, and they're still there. But I mean, I don't tend to hear as much from Blackburn Rovers fans about the Venkies. I mean, is there still a little bit of distrust between the fans and the owners?
Yeah, well, it certainly can't be overlooked that they took charge when Rovers were mid-table in the Premier League and they found themselves in League One. So you'll not find anybody looking past that. But they've invested the money in this last year. It's been a big financial commitment from them to plug the gap from going down from the Championship and funding League One. They've spent more money this season on transfers than they have done in probably the previous three windows when they were a Championship club. And I think that was the thing with the fans, that they were disappointed with the lack of investment in terms of what they were seeing on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. They spent $250,000 last season, and with the sales, they just were selling the best players and not replacing them, and that's why they eventually got relegated. But Mowbray's been out to India, and he got all the assurances that he wanted, and that's the big role that he's played, that the feel-good factor's back at the club. And no real talk about the ownership because of the job that Tony Mowbray's done on the pitch with the backing of the owners.
Now, look, I mean, sort of looking ahead to Saturday's game in a way, but in terms of the rest of the season for Blackburn, now they're sitting 1 point behind Wigan before Saturday's game. I mean, how important to them do you think the title would be? Because I think some Charlton fans were hoping they'd get to this stage of the season and Blackburn would have nothing left to play for and they might take their foot off the gas. But I mean, how important would the title be for Rovers?
Yeah, not just that as well. This run of one defeat in 33 is something they're very proud of. Want to try with one defeat in 35 if they can with these final two games. With the title as well, I think they'll probably we get to top possibly further ahead than they are. It was 12 points in front of Rovers early in the season. They managed to claw that back. So with a shot with a title, they've got nothing to lose. They've got two games to go. They're probably going to need to win both of them, I think, and hope that Wigan drop points in at least one of their matches. So there is plenty still riding on it for them. I don't think they'll be turning up and just playing around. I think they'll be really keen to see if they can get the title. And they've shown great resilience throughout the season. But with two games to go, I don't see any reason why there should be any let up from them, to be honest.
So on Saturday down at the Valley, who are the main players that Charlton fans should be looking out for from the Rovers side?
Well, obviously Bradley Jackson, the main man, who will lead more player of the year, and he's been outstanding since he joined from Gillingham. He really has been a standout. After a difficult start, he picked up a couple of string injuries in the first couple of months. Didn't score his first goal until late in September, but 18 league goals, and he's a really go-to man. When he plays well, it's normally because Jack's producing. And down the spine of the team with Charlie Munker, obviously 14 goals from centre-half. He's terrific left foot from set pieces. Danny Graham up front, leading the line with his experience. So they're the real spine of the team, those three, and they're the ones who've probably carried them through the season. When they've been a big player to stand up, it's really been those three have come to the fore.
And how do you see the game going? Because I remember in the defeat up at Ewood Park just before Christmas, I think it was Leon Best's own goal that gave Blackburn the lead. But then I felt Charlton actually put put the home side under a little bit of pressure in that second half. So they've proven that they can play against Blackburn. I mean, did Rovers sort of improve after that? After that performance, was that sort of one of their more average performances of the season?
I think it's been like a lot of games that Rovers have come up against, because when teams come to Ewood Park, they want to perform. So Rovers always often come up against the best of the opposition. I think particularly in that second half, Charlton really did push them. David Graham had a couple of great saves, and you could see with the celebrations of when Danny Graham scored that goal in injury time, David Ray, the goalkeeper, sprinted the full length of the pitch, and all 11 players celebrated in front of the Blackburn end, and that made it 6 wins in a row in November and December. And that was a real key time in the season for Rovers, where they were just starting to turn the screw, and it was a really big win, I think, for them. Charlton did impress in that second half particularly, and they'll certainly be wary of threats. I know I've been spoken to the manager, Tony Mowbray. He knows of the threats that Charlton will pose, so Rose will be under no illusion that if they are going to get the 3 points to keep the title hopes alive, they'll have to come through a tough test.
So there we go. Great to hear from Richard there from the Lancashire Telegraph, giving us the lowdown on Blackburn Rovers. Unfortunately, not expecting them to be on the beach now that they've got promotion. But there is still the title to fight for with Wigan. They're a point behind the Latics, obviously, with a couple of games left. Right, we got an email in. Mark Newbury, our very own. Evening chats. Personally, I was glad that Blackburn got their promotion on Tuesday. A tough midweek game. Then a celebration should leave them tired enough for our hard work to push them back. But I still think that we should man mark Dak, as he's been immense for them this season. But excuse me, if we get Konza or Aribo or to limp it to him, and that should nullify his influence. We used to do that a lot with Keith Jones. He stuck to his job so well, he once went and stood by the sideline as a player who was marking went to change their boots. Apart from Fosu, if we start with the team we did, who did so well against Pompey, we have a good chance. A week's rest and training gives me hope for a good result. But even a draw would not be a disaster, and we would know what we would have to do on the last day. Yeah, so good email. Cheers for that, Mark. Agree with him about trying to man mark Bradley Dactis to try and nullify him?
100%. I just think it's got to be Cashy that does it.
Yeah.
He was got himself about and made those tackles all day against Portsmouth, eventually got his book in right at the end. He's going to have to do the same again, and it's going to be a tight line. He's going to have to be careful. He doesn't want to get himself booked early doors, but he's just got to follow him everywhere. Let the centre-backs then deal with the likes of Graham and like Mulgrew from set pieces. But he's just got to stick to Dak. And that hopefully Forster Kasky can then work with the rest of midfield. As I say, Mark Marshall and Reeves either side are going to have to put a hell of a shift in as well. It's not going to be easy. But if from the way that the guy was talking, it sounds like they're going to come out and play. And if they do that, then, as I say, that's the sort of team we like to play against. We like to then try and hit other teams when they're coming forward. So I think that might help us a little bit, but it's going to be a tough game irrespective.
Now, something we haven't mentioned yet, because we'll do this properly at the end of the season. But obviously, I mean, Jacko's out injured, so he's not going to play on Saturday. But this will be, his last league game at the Valley as a player as such. But obviously, he's going to be standing on the touchline. Hopefully, he'll be standing on that touchline for many years to come. So it'll be a really strange one for him. I've seen a lot of people during the week saying, they're going to come out for Jacko, but I say he's not playing. But in terms of his last league game, do you think that will potentially be a bit of a special occasion, won't it?
Yeah, you'd hope so. I hope we give him some sort of send-off. Because a lot of, there might be some fans who might not be able to make Rochdale, so and he might not even be fit for then. So, yeah, hopefully we can show him appreciation. Hopefully we win. And then, obviously, I'm sure you'll get a little a standing ovation at the end of the game, because I don't really need to sit here and explain what he's done for the club. I think it's pretty obvious. But it's going to be weird, him not being about next year. But he hasn't really played that much, really, this year. But, it'll be sad, but hopefully a happy day with 3 points.
Yeah, that's the main thing we're hoping for. Right, let's have a look at some cashy back bet then, Nath. What are you doing?
I thought earlier Blackburn half time, Charlton full time. Then I thought Marshall's first goal scorer 3-2. I think there's be goals in it. There'll be a lot of goals in it. But I'm still worming and ahhing. But I'm hoping for some inspiration. Do you got any?
It's so hard to predict how this one's going to go. Now I mentioned I think we're at a bit of a loss without Tariq Fasu, and we desperately need someone to step up to the plate. And you know, if Kai Kai's fit, then a lot of pressure is going to be on him. Otherwise, it will be the likes of Reeves. And I'm trying to think who was leading. I mean, it was Marshall who seemed to be leading a lot of our counter attacks on Saturday in the second half after Fosu went off injured, and so maybe him as well. Forster Kasky, like I say, probably be a bit more defensive on Saturday. So it's just hard to see which way to go. Now I think if we do win, I think it'll be a bit narrower. Now, obviously, Blackburn only sort of plundered the one goal against Doncaster on Tuesday evening. I watched them against Peterborough this time last week. I got home and watched the second half, and they scored some good goals there. But obviously, that's a home game where Peterborough were desperately fighting to try and get a result that they needed to keep them in touch as well. So I'm not sure. Tom, come on then. Me and Nathan have both very much passed the buck.
Yeah. I think we're going to win.
Yeah?
Yeah. I do think it's going to be tight. But I think we might sneak it 2-1.
Okay, who's the goal scorer? Give us a goal. Right, 2-1. Give me a goal scorer. I'm going to put that on.
All right, I'm going to give it to Mark Marshall.
You were going to say that anyway, weren't you?
All right then. I was just looking for the side that played against him when we played up in their place, and Fosu didn't play then because he was injured. So
Marshall 2-1, right?
Yeah. So I think, of course, it's still a huge loss, but we coped with them on the whole that day. As I say, the scoreline flattered them in the end, and now they're at our place, and we've got to make that count.
So that's what we're going to go for then, 2-1 with Marshall for the cashy bag.
70-1, that is.
70-1, excellent stuff. We could win loads of money.
140 odd quid.
Right, so, I mean, guys, your last feelings just before we end the show. I mean, it's huge. I mean, we can lose on Saturday and it won't be over, but I think a draw or a win is absolutely vital at this stage of the season.
Well, what's weird is we could lose and still be in it, or we could win and it makes no difference because the other two win. So it's just such a mad situation, but we just got to worry about ourselves for now, try and get the job done. As we said, if we win both of our games, we should be fine, and we've got to focus on that.
I think if we lose on Saturday, I'm just going to be worrying about every result for the next blooming like
4 years.
It feels like 4 years. So a draw, I'd be happy, but I'd still be apprehensive. If we win on Saturday, I would feel comfortable going into Rochdale, but it's not.
No one's ever felt comfortable going to Rochdale. Okay. Right, we've run out of time here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. Hope you've enjoyed it. Tom and Nathan, thanks for joining us.
Cheers. Cheers.
Don't forget, we'll be back here on Charlton Live and Maritime on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Blackburn Rovers. Let's hope it's 3 points for Charlton. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to leave the last word of this week's show to Lee Bowyer.
Just come along, support the lads. That's all I can say. Support the lads. Get behind them for the full 90 minutes. Because it can be a great day. We can turn this into a great day.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.